So good evening again. This is Yvan Tina on the Metalife channel for Creative Disturbance. Still in Perth with Lainey Burton. Is my pronunciation correct?
Absolutely perfect.
Hello, Lainey.
Hello.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you very much for hosting me, Yvan.
You're welcome.
My name is Dr. Lainey Burton. I work at Griffith University in Queensland, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the head of studio art and honours at my campus. And I am a researcher and an artist and a writer.
Yeah. Okay, so yesterday, oh no, not yesterday, but I think 2 days ago, I attended your presentation on prosthetics organs or wearable art. Mm-hmm. So you've been studying the work of Neri Oxman.
Yes, yes.
Dealing with biomaterials and such.
Yeah.
Where did this idea of organs as wearable come from?
Well, in July this year, I went to New Zealand to another conference at the PopCans conference, and I presented a paper on prosthetics again.
Yeah.
But I was focused on 3D printed soft tissue prostheses and how they might be incorporated. So essentially, the 3D printed soft tissue prostheses that I was looking at were used for maxillofacial rehabilitation. So essentially, those are people who have experienced facial trauma, and there's this amazing technology, and it can now print these prostheses, which are so beautifully incorporated into the structure of the face now,
mm-hmm.
that there's literally no telling that someone has a prosthesis. It's really very there's color matching, and it's soft, and you know, it's
like
not as obvious
skin.
Yeah, definitely. And so one of the things that really intrigued me about this process was not just the technology, but certainly I'm a bit of a comic book fan, and there's a Venezuelan man called Henry Damon, and he is also a comic book fan, and he cut his own nose off. Perfectly functioning flesh, no reason for it to be gone.
His own nose?
His own nose. He found I'm putting this in inverted commas, a surgeon who dropped out of medical school, and this is all in documentation, who helped him achieve his goal of looking like the comic book character called Red Skull, who is a villain and a Marvel comic character, and whose roots are in Nazi terrorism. Mm-hmm. So if you can check that out. But my interest was the fact that this gentleman cut off his own nose, which there was no reason for it to be gone other than the fact that he aspired to a particular kind of aesthetic.
Yep.
And so I started thinking about how this technology, this 3D3D printed soft tissue prostheses, could at one point in time be used as an aesthetic device or like the new form of cosmetic surgery. So today people get things trimmed, they get things implanted, but we're not so used to that extreme body modification where someone will literally cut something off and then leave it that way, unless it's necessary for these kind of genetic conditions Anyway, so that's where my interest began. But I was looking at other kinds of prostheses that are very creatively used.
Yeah.
Not just there's a athlete called Oscar Pistorius, who's now famous for
the murder.
Yes, for the murder. And his bionic legs, and there's a whole lot of ethical debates going on about whether or not he should be, competing alongside able-bodied athletes, because his legs don't get tired.
Mm-hmm.
There's no deterioration, no decay, that sort of thing. And he challenged that sort of thing. And I thought, oh, that was really exciting for me. But apart from that, there's this other kind of cosmetic beauty aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what happens to this gentleman, Henry Damon, if at one point in his life, in the future, he decides, oh, I made a mistake. I'm not saying that he would, but oh, I might have made a mistake. I want my nose back. Oh, that's okay. I can get a 3D soft tissue, prostheses.
Yeah.
And that's where my interest began. But then
Neri Oxman? So, I mean, actually, are you working with Neri Oxman?
I'm not, but wouldn't that be lovely? She's quite amazing. Okay. And she's really a polymath, I think. She's an architect and a designer, and she seems to be a scientist. She understands the processes, and she's a master collaborator. I know that about researching with her, or researching on her. But so to lead into Neri Oxman, because I have this interest in prostheses, I saw this Wanderers, an astrobiological exploration collection that she produced, and I saw them as prosthetic organs worn on the outside of the body. I see them as much as wearable art as I see them as prosthetic organs, because they house life to produce.
What do you mean by they house life?
Okay, so the Mushtari, which is the champion of the series, is produced for Jupiter, the planet Jupiter, and it houses cyanobacteria, and it's meant to be able to transform atmospheric elements of Jupiter into consumable sucrose for the human body to consume in those extreme environments. So it's obviously very speculative, but it's also as much about aesthetics and about art as it is about this kind of perception of in the future we might be able to do this, this and that. So I just saw a natural transition from kind of body augmentation in the previous paper into this kind of body augmentation, but with the assistance of synthetic life in this series that she's produced. So,
You also, before moving to this debate about design, contestable design and speculative one, but there's any possible application of this in the fashion industry? Or you're coming from the fashion industry.
Well,
yourself,
I actually teach fashion design and art history and theory, and I began the fashion design major at my university campus, which is at the Gold Coast campus in Queensland. It's now being passed over to another lecturer, but part of that is me having been informed about wearable technology and being able to sort of see that more broadly as incorporating these kind of speculative design objects. And when I saw the Wanderers series, I just thought, oh, that is a perfect example of speculative design for fashion. But, I mean, ultimately, they're so beautiful. There's a real kind of, I think in my paper I was talking about, there's a real metastasized aesthetic to them. They look like, because they're produced using algorithms, computer generated software and algorithms, they kind of form on their own and they start producing this kind of metastasized aesthetic, and they look like diseases. They look like tumescent organs that are worn on the outside of the body, but at the same time they're incredibly beautiful because they're based on the internal organs of the body. And so, but ultimately the objects themselves look like these incredibly aesthetic things worn on the outside of the body, much like the work of the designer Iris van Herpen. But they also incorporate, the difference is they incorporate this synthetic life, which makes them a little bit more interesting to me, because there are other things at stake other than design and fashion itself.
So as you was pointing out earlier in the discussion, we had a nice tour of the Symbiotica laboratory earlier this afternoon, and the discussion emerged about the difference between speculative design and contestable design. Can you please come back again to this idea of speculative design? What are the stakes actually at work?
It's a good question. I think the beautiful space that is speculative design is that it can just be in this zone of imagination, right? It's the what if. How about, or what if zone.
And then the suspension of disbelief.
Exactly, actually. So essentially Oren Katz, who's the leader of Symbiotica along with Yonat Zer, he was asking me that question about my suspension of disbelief within the object itself. And we had a discussion later, and I actually said, you know, well, we both agreed that it was actually fiction.
Yeah.
And he said, well, why would you believe in that more than you would believe in a science fiction film? Because I refer to, you know, my answer to some of the questions was to draw upon popular sci-fi film culture. And so, I think What are the stakes? It's a really excellent question. The stakes are is if people or, you know, designers take this as fact, because the rhetoric that surrounds the works themselves can be very persuasive, right? So if people begin to, I mean, it's not just that we're talking about interplanetary sort of exploration, it could be anything here on Earth as well. So if the rhetoric is so persuasive that we start believing in our own speculative, or our own speculations rather, the implications could be that we put ourselves at risk. So, but I actually don't think it's that heavy, you know. I mean, they're beautiful objects, and they're wearable art, and they're speculative design. They're not contestable. But I honestly, if I can say, I don't have the answer to exactly what contestable design is, and I'd really like to speak to Aaron Katz more about what exactly he means that to be.
Okay, but anyway, you was also mentioning this idea of an agency capacity of synthetic biology. Is that what you said?
Agentic, yeah, the agency.
Yeah, the agency.
Yeah, the agentic capacity. Yes. Well, if we're making something and essentially it's alive, made by nature, whatever that is, you know, that's been under question in this whole conference, but made by nature or made by people, if it's alive and it's being instrumentalized by humankind for specific purposes, we have to ask ourselves what agency does it have? What rights does it have? And I mean, you could get into these kinds of arguments of speciesism or any kinds of arguments, but ideological, there's a lot of ideological splits going on, but I'm interested in this notion that, well, it's full of life, these objects, they're full of life, so what if they don't work out for us? What are we going to do to that life? So are we going to throw it in the bin? Are we going to put it on a shelf and watch it turn into a kind of a terrarium? Or some, we have to think about the implications of our own actions. If we're going to create life, then how will we treat that life? And if it means that we can discard it at will, I think then we need to have a good look at how we understand life itself and what agency life itself should have and how we can theorize that. I mean, that's what I do.
I think we both attended the panel on ecosex earlier.
Yeah, it was
and,
fantastic.
I think one of the panelists actually says that anytime that we as human beings are dealing with thing or talking about thing, we always add some value to that. So do you really think that we have to be concerned?
Because, I see, because agency is a human construct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unless we can learn the language of other life forms, then we are imposing upon it another construct of human life, an anthropocentric construct. If we find ourselves, which human beings like to do, at the top of the food chain, and we want to bring things into being, then we should take responsibility for that.
Okay.
And what does that responsibility entail? Does it mean care or instrumentalization? Because ultimately, the advance, you know, the advanced logic of, or the logic of advanced capitalism rather, will take over. And I think in my paper I was saying people will patent it, they will then sell it on to corporations, it will be controlled eventually. But there's an economic imperative there, but then there have to be other forms of care and responsibility that human beings take into account if we're going to bring something into being. How it feels about that, nobody will know because we can't understand that language. I don't know. I don't have those answers, but I still think they're worth thinking about.
Why would the idea of speculation should be contestable or contested in that, you know, in that viewpoint?
Well, that's a good question. But if you come up with an answer, tell me. I'm not sure I have an answer to that one, Ivan. Honestly, I think your guess is as good as mine. I'm throwing my hat into a ring, where others are saying, what if? So I meet them. I answer a question with a question. Well, then, to your question, I ask you, what if? So, and I come from a completely different, you know, I might come from a different kind of discipline to those people who are making the objects. I might be analyzing, certainly, but I think it's fair as a kind of an academic community or a thinking community that we ask those questions of each other, because someone has to keep us in check.
Yeah.
And we need to call each other into account and call each other to task. And that's a part of intelligent design. And intelligent design doesn't necessarily mean that it possesses life and it's going to do things for us. It means the whole background to the establishment of that project or the creation of that thing. What we want to know is that it's been thought through. And that it's been multiple angles have been considered, not just the economic imperative or outcomes or potential of something. And that in actual fact, there might be an ethical dimension to that. And an aesthetic dimension, which is the language I like to speak as well. But, I like to balance that with ethics and a whole range of other things.
Okay, I think the exhibition is about to... I mean, I see people living from the place. One last... comment would be, do you have any concluding remarks on this whole conference, NeoLife, and the exhibition that we've seen so far? Do you have any expectation, any disappointment to come back to this idea of aesthetics?
I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of it. I'm not disappointed at all. I've really enjoyed the dialogues, both those presented more formally and those that I've had informally with new peers and colleagues. I'm completely stimulated. My head is exploding with ideas and I'm really enjoying the whole process, actually. So I think it's very positive, and it's great to know that the things that I'm thinking about in my office and my studio and with my students and as I write aren't operating in isolation. There are people all over the globe thinking about similar issues, and that I've found like a kind of a new community of like-minded academics and scholars and artists and writers and critics who are ready to tackle these questions. And I think it's a very important forum and that it should continue, actually. So I'm very pleased. I'm happy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. I'm very pleased to be a part of it. Yeah.